Look who it is. It's them dang old YouTubers again. Good morning, everybody. I'm Bear with BearIndependent.com. And we are working from the mobile platform this morning. So please forgive the production quality. We will strive for our benchmark here on YouTube, the best information with the worst production quality on the internet. If you're new here, you know what to do. Subscribe, ring the little bell icon. If you're not new here, you know what to do. Share the show with somebody that you love. Hotel coffee. They got to make these bigger. I mean, look at this. Now I get it. I have bare hands, but they gotta give you a man size cup for your coffee. All right, we are talking about bank collapses. I know, bank collapses. We were talking about bank collapses this morning. Of course, the show is brought to you by RefugeMedical.com. More on that later. So since Friday afternoon, Friday evening, three banks that I know of, that we know of currently, Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and Silvergate Bank have all collapsed. They've all been taken over by the FDIC and the Fed, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So, and I'm shooting from the hip on this one, y'all. I'm on the road and short sleep, and I'm working from OSINT, aka thumbs on an iPhone. So what we know thus far, and I posted a very good article on Patreon yesterday of the 20 or so articles I was able to find on Silicon Valley Bank here in SVB. What we know is that Silicon Valley Bank has essentially collapsed. It's been taken over by the FDIC. The Federal Reserve has founded another bank called the Bank of Santa Barbara in that same area. And as of this morning, 13 March 23, the FDIC has said that all creditors to that bank, all deposits, will be insured by the FDIC, regardless of whether or not they hit that $250,000 or less benchmark for FDIC insurance. Silicon Valley Bank has been loaning money at 0% interest due to Federal Reserve policies for years and years and years. When you loan money at 0% interest, you don't produce any profit as a bank. If I loan you $100 at 0% interest, you pay me $100 back. There's no additional. So Silicon Valley Bank invested in federal securities when interest rates were low. Interest rates continued to climb and are continuing to climb because Fed Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is hiking interest rates to reduce the velocity of money to combat inflation. So these securities that SVB invested in should have matured, say hypothetically, if it was a $100 investment, should have matured hypothetically at $120. So they would have produced a profit. So SVB's policy here was to invest in these long-term federal securities that would mature at a profit because of the low inflation rates, because they weren't making any money lending money out at low interest rates. Well, interest rates went up. So those securities that should have matured, say, at $120 instead of $100, are now maturing at $90, say. So they're taking a loss on the securities, aka they have no revenue. They have revenue, they have no profit. And I'm trying to do this in the explain like I'm five version for two reasons. One, very few of us here are financial professionals, myself included. And two, I don't necessarily have a doctorate level grasp of what's going on here either. So the explain like I'm five version. So Silicon Valley Bank's not making any money making loans to individuals, organizations, companies, and they're now not making any money on these securities that they invested in because of the increasing interest rates. So they decided to raise some capital by selling shares of their bank. I believe these shares were offered last Thursday. Savvy investors noticed that, oh, a bank is selling shares of itself to raise capital. That's usually an indicator that things are bad. That indicator, because Silicon Valley is a small area and very enmeshed. The people who bank at Silicon Valley Bank all know each other, regardless if they're tech giants or up-and-coming tech giants. And by the way, approximately $175 billion in accounts, the second largest bank failure in U.S. history behind Lehman Brothers in 2008, which began the cascade of the 2008 financial crisis, which is, of course, what everybody is concerned about right now, that here we go with the 2023 financial crisis 15 years later. And brief rabbit hole, I would submit that we're probably dealing with the sins of the past in a very large way now, all around, but especially in the banking industry and finance. Silicon Valley Bank goes to sell shares of itself, and savvy investors notice that a bank is selling shares of itself to raise capital, something must be wrong. So they start pulling, these savvy investors start pulling their money out of Silicon Valley Bank. And like all banks, Silicon Valley Bank has far less money in stock, physical, tangible money in stock, than they actually have on the books. So as more and more people caught on to what was happening, more and more people started pulling their money out of the bank, and Silicon Valley Bank didn't have the money on hand to make whole all of its creditors, all the people who had money deposited in the bank. So federal regulators, seeing what was... Now, federal regulators should have been involved before this point, at least based upon the 20-plus articles I've read, should have stopped this before it started, but they didn't. So on Friday evening, you know, news cycle, everybody's getting off work, they're going home, they're thinking about the baseball game, they're thinking about Shabbat, they're thinking about church on Sunday morning, you know, they're thinking about their trip to Home Depot to buy the 2x4s or whatever to build the raised beds in the backyard. They're not thinking about bank and finance. Friday evening, federal regulators took over Silicon Valley Bank. And the FDIC, again, has said, regardless of the amount of money that one had in Silicon Valley Bank, the FDIC will guarantee all deposits, all $175 billion that are in that bank. The reason for that is that the FDIC and the Federal Reserve do not want us, the normal people, losing confidence in the banking system and making runs on every other bank in the country, because there's not another bank in the country that has enough money in the bank for everybody to go pull their money out at the same time. Let me get a signals check in the chat. Can y'all hear me? Can you see me? Are we 5x5? I had the comments turned off for a minute because in this mode, the comments cover the screen, and it's very hard. 5x5. Thank you, PA. Thank you, Palmetto, Hypno, everybody else. All right. So, continuing. So the FDIC and the Fed are trying to keep a run on banks nationally from happening because of a lack of consumer confidence in the banking industry. So SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, is now property, asterisk, of the federal government, FDIC, and the Bank of Santa Barbara will be taking over all of the accounts of SVB as of this morning, and all of the companies and creditors who had money in SVB will have access to those funds this morning. The reason for this is to maintain liquidity, because SVB was the bank for a lot of Silicon Valley companies, And the cascading effects of people not having access to their money means not just that payroll doesn't go through or that operating expenses aren't paid, which are big deals for the company itself, but also that commerce across the board in the United States and abroad would be hindered greatly. So, Silicon Valley Bank is now insolvent. Silicon Valley Bank representing the second largest bank failure in the history of the United States of America. One of three banks that have failed. Signature Bank was another bank that failed last week, and Signature Bank, as I understand it, was tied directly to cryptocurrency transactions. And that's probably an indicator for the viability of crypto. I get asked, and again, not an expert on this, but I get asked all the time, Bear, what do you think about crypto? Should I invest in crypto? And thank you, Hypno, I appreciate you. Coffee on me. Bless you, brother. I get asked all the time, Bear, what do you think about crypto? And my position has always been, knowing that I'm kind of a moron when it comes to crypto, I prefer investments that I can touch. I prefer investments that I can touch. Because in my mind, again, I'm not saying I'm right. Well, it's on the blockchain, Bear. They can't delete it. They can do a lot of things that we don't know about. I've personally witnessed technology being employed by the United States government and Department of Defense that's 20 to 30 years ahead of what the civilian market has. Yeah. And that was a year or two ago. What do they have now? I have no idea. So the idea that it can't just be deleted, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. So I like things that I can touch. If I'm going to invest in something, I'd rather it not be ones and zeros. I like tangible assets, especially from a preparedness mindset. So if we're talking about bank collapse here, the potential rippling effects of this across the United States economy, in my mind, this goes back to basic prepper stuff. Now, again, the reason the Fed got involved as quickly as they did when Silicon Valley Bank started circling the drain is because they want to maintain consumer confidence in the American banking system. Now, interestingly, they did not get involved until SVB was circling the drain. They should have been, at least according to all the articles and research I've done thus far, they should have been involved beforehand. There should have been checks and balances in place to keep this from happening in the first place, but those don't seem to have happened. Surprise, surprise, the Fed was asleep at the wheel again. Is it possible that there are rippling effects out from this affecting your local bank, other national banks? Yes, it's possible. Some have surmised that the Fed is, thank you, Cheney McDonald, I appreciate you. Some have surmised that the Fed is going to allow some of these banks that are not being appropriately run to fail, to essentially cull the fat from the American banking system. If that happens, obviously, it's something we're going to talk about, we'll be paying attention to, and I intend to do more on this in a brief later in the week, a little bit of a deeper dive, because right now we're just skimming the wave tops. But it's been surmised that the Federal Reserve and the FDIC could and may allow some of these weaker banks to fail simply to cull the fat, to trim the fat from the system. That, of course, if that happens, as more bank failures continue to occur, is not going to do a lot for consumer confidence. It's not going to do a lot for my personal confidence in the American banking system, which goes back to basic prepper stuff. Tangible assets. I am not telling you to go into debt. I'm not telling you to max out your credit cards. But I am telling you, if you have money in the bank and it's just burning a hole there, you might consider purchasing things that you need from a preparedness standpoint, because my basic summation has always been, I'd rather have the stuff that I can touch than have the money in the bank. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I've always been good at earning, but I've been piss poor at saving throughout my entire life. That being said, I physically own everything that I need and most of what I want by the blessings of our Creator and by the work of my hands and the sweat of my brow. I've been able to check all those boxes. And so if you find yourself in a position where you're worried about a bank collapse, but you've also got some money burning a hole in the bank, today might be a great day for a trip to Costco or Sam's Club and get one of those big flat carts and fill it up with rice and beans and canned chicken and spices and cooking oil and consumable goods and, you know, time for some more wool blankets, time for some more tourniquets, time for some more ammunition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Water treatment, water filtration. Get that bug out kit put together that you've been thinking about doing. I'm not generally a fan of spending your way out of a problem. It's a very American Western way of dealing with a problem. Buy shit and check the box. That being said, a key foundational cornerstone of preparedness is having material supplies of the things that you're going to need, the things that you're going to consume. I think basic categories here: food, water, shelter, security, intel, commo, transpo, basic things like that. This could be as simple as, you know, the car needs a wheel hub. Today's a great day to pull some money out of the bank and fix the car, right? Fill some gas cans, maybe get an oil change, change that air filter that you've been thinking about changing, get a tune-up, et cetera, right? Maybe some new tires. Thank you, Daryl. Are you Daryl or Darrell? You're going to be Darrell today. So anyway, investing in tangible assets, highly recommended, as we continue to see normalcy teetering on the verge of extinction. I think that every one of us should be investing in tangible assets. Now, in other news, yet another atmospheric river will be lashing California after soaking rains, bringing even more flooding across an already saturated region. Flood watches have gone into effect for 15 million in California and Nevada. Feast or famine, right? Drought, 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 biblical rain. In addition to incoming storms, melting snowpack is expected to prolong the flooding issues. A levee near a small town in Pajaro breached late into Friday night, putting about 1,700 people underwater. Most of these people are farm workers, so not only has the water ruined their homes, but it's covered the fields that bring in their livelihoods. This is nowhere close to being the only community impacted so heavily. Flooding has led to evacuations of multiple communities throughout several counties, water rescues, and extensive damage to property. The Los Angeles Times reported that one 50-year-old woman chose to stay despite deputies going door-to-door urging people to prepare to leave. Her words, quote, "I'm going to trust in God because we can't do anything. We don't have anywhere to go," end quote. Take away from that paragraph, we don't have anywhere to go. Now, trusting in God, Yahuwah your Elohim, the Lord your God, that's a sound course of action right there. But I would encourage you to read the word and realize that everybody in that book that trusted in God at some point had to unask the AO. They had to go somewhere else. Even Messiah, when he was a baby, when Herod was trying to kill him, Joseph and Mary had to take him where? To Egypt, to Mitzrayim, to get away, to bug out from the danger. And they stayed in Mitzrayim in Egypt for a hot minute. Like a precision weapon systems Mark 116 Mod 1, the tradesman. I'm not giving you an excuse to buy another gun. Go see my video, The Gun Industry is Lying to You, and then you can make a decision as to whether or not you need that. And I would submit that if you have your food, your water, your shelter, your bug out plan, your intel, your network, your commo, your medical systems, your transportation and logistics systems, all 100% squared away, then maybe, go buy another gun. But if you can't definitively say yes, all those things are firing on all cylinders, I would suggest strongly that the firearms you already have are probably more than adequate. Getting back to Mitzrayim and bugging out, everybody in that book who trusted in God also, at some point, bugged out, wandered in the wilderness for a hot minute, had to go somewhere else. So, should you trust in God? Yep, absolutely. Should you also have a plan to go somewhere else if needed? Yes. Absolutely. And all this stuff, this is what I call basic prepper stuff. I have a playlist here at this channel called The Prepper Classroom, where all of these concepts are broken down Barney style on a whiteboard, where I lay out for you, you know, do this, don't do this. This is how you make these decisions. This is what you need. This is what you want. This is what you don't need, etc., etc. There's 28 or 30 videos in that playlist that covers everything from how to put together a bug out plan to how much water you need to what kind of food to stock to how much ammunition do you need, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Using math and facts, not feelings and suppositions. So if you're not tracking on basic prepper stuff, go watch that playlist. It's free here on YouTube, The Prepper Classroom. Okay?
Okay, Bear.
All right, cool. But you should absolutely have a plan to leave, to go somewhere else, to remove yourself from whatever threat may present itself. And most people focus on the bug out bag, which is good because all systems ultimately devolve into a man-portable system, meaning that sooner or later, you may have to carry your livelihood on your back. But I'd much prefer to drive there if I could, which means having threat indicators as well, that when I see five of these seven things checked off on the list, excuse me, I know it's time to go. And I'm going to leave before the problem occurs, not when or after the problem occurs. So you should have a bug out bag, but you should have a bug out plan, because the bug out plan includes the bug out location where I'm going, and the location and how we're getting there determines the bug out kit. All the things I want to take, and part of that bug out kit is the bug out bag that if the vehicle breaks down or the roads are impassable or I run out of gas or whatever, then ultimately all systems degrade into man-portable systems. I can throw this rucksack on my back and I can hoof it. And by the way, if you've ever tried to bug out with a toddler, I have. I've run that drill several times. It's not an expedient experience. Doesn't matter how good you are at rucking, and I'm pretty damn good at rucking. I've been rucking for PT for a few years now, and I'm pretty good at rucking. My wife, she's marginal. My children, not so much. So if you can go, you ruck to the SF standard. You can do 12 miles in 4 hours. Good for you. 15-minute mile with a rucksack on your back. Your family can't. So you're going to make far less time, and you're going to be far more exposed than you think you are, which is why you want to be able to leave early. Not under fire. Not under threat. Not with the Panamanian paratroopers breathing down your neck, or the flood coming, or the forest fire, or the whatever. Okay? Okay. This hotel at least has decent coffee. They even have heavy cream out for you to drop a dollop in your coffee. In Biden's recently proposed $6.8 trillion budget, there would be $4 trillion in higher taxes over the next 10 years. I feel like I gotta scratch my beard all of a sudden. Got it. And personal income tax would be the highest it has been since Jimmy Carter. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. If the plan were implemented, it would make the United States a country with one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. This proposal would place the tax burden most squarely on the shoulders of small and medium-sized business owners and investors, not the ultra-wealthy. And as a small business owner, again, I feel like I need to scratch my beard a little bit. Got it. Fox News reported, quote, "When you combine Biden's corporate tax with the higher capital gains tax, you're talking about the government helping itself to as much as 60% of a company's profits in taxes. 10%. 10% is adequate to run the kingdom of God. 10% is adequate to run the kingdom of God. But these Babylonian assholes, the powers that be, want 60% of your profit. Quick question. In this build back better world we live in, which apparently build back better means bank collapses and wars and infrastructural collapse and corruption and a senile old man as leader of the free world. It's going great. But, you know, by all metrics, this build back better thing, it's going great. I don't know what everybody's so upset about. This Build Back Better system requires 60% of my profits to operate. What do you think that's going to do to wage growth? What do you think that's going to do to the growth of companies, small and medium-sized companies, the lifeblood of America? Do you think I'm going to be able to hire more people and expand my business and provide new goods and services if 60% of my profit is going to the government instead of being plowed back into the business? Or instead of, I don't know, paying people at the company a living wage? Or, yah forbid, paying myself because a workman is worth their hire? No. 10% is adequate to run the kingdom of God, but this Babylonian system that is not of the Most High requires now 60% of your income. Negative. I want to go on a pissed off rant, but it won't fix anything. Once that's added to the proposed taxes on stock buybacks and a Medicare tax on business income, that equates to about 2/3 of business profits going towards taxes. Now, here's the other thing to understand. As one generates more and more revenue and they realize more and more profit, they hire more and more CPAs, certified public accountants. And those CPAs get paid to do two things. One, to keep you out of prison by paying your taxes. And two, to determine the best tax avoidance strategy possible for you and your company and your entities. So it's part of why, you know, why are the rich so rich? Why do they have so much money? Because little dudes and little chicks are paying 2/3 of their profit to the government, whereas larger companies can and do afford the best CPAs on the planet to find every tax avoidance strategy known to man. That tax code is like 66,000 pages, and 1,000 pages or so of it, at least this is how it was described to me, explained like I'm five, by my CPAs. 1,000 pages of it is the stuff that you have to do so you don't end up in an orange jumpsuit property of the state. 65,000 pages of it is how you get out of doing that first 1,000 pages of it. So the rich do pay 10% taxes, because they know every trick in the book, because they hire people smarter than them to manage their money. Everybody else, the mom and pop tire shop or the flower shop or the small gym or the plumber, the carpenter, the electrician, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, they're just getting by. When they see their CPA, it's once a year to spend $300 to file their annual taxes. And now when they do that, whatever they showed in profit, let's say they made $100,000 in profit that year, praise Yah. Good news, $66,000 of that is going to the federal government to support this ridiculous Babylonian Build Back Better regime. And you get to realize a profit, realize net profit of $34,000. Why don't I just go flip burgers at Burger King? See, because that's what's going to go through people's heads. Yet again, another attack on the mom and pop, the small businesses of the world, by the Democrats. And make no mistake, the Republicans aren't any better. They're on the same team. They just wear a slightly different uniform, and neither of them care enough about you to actually do anything in your favor. They work for them first. We do not have a representative republic anymore. To which folks often ask me, well, Bear, what are we going to do about it? Stay tuned. Next Sunday, I have a video that will be dropping called The Militia Versus the Government. Stay tuned for that. I think it's going to piss a lot of people off. But where do we go from there? What do we do? Well, the way I deal with this, honestly, and the reason this channel is called Bear Independent, is my goal is to be as independent from this broken, fragile, Babylonian bullshit system as possible. Yep, I'm gonna pay a CPA a few thousand dollars so that I don't have to pay the federal government $66,000. I'm gonna grow my own food, I'm gonna raise my own children, provide my own security, provide my own medical, provide my own fill in the blank, my own intel, my own combo, my own shelter, my own water. Hell, we plow our own roads. We fix our own roads. The county shows up about once every 6 months, takes a look around and goes, not that bad. Turns around and leaves again. And it's not that bad because we fix it. Well, that's the government's job. Yeah, they're terrible at their job. Security. How secure do you feel with all these federal agencies running around right now targeting Americans? Intel. How informed do you believe you are? Commo. How free is your commo? Shelter. Can you afford a house right now? Can you afford a piece of land? Are those things even options to you? Water. Go ask the people in East Palestine for a glass of water. Right? Food. Do you believe that the food that you buy in the store is good for you? Or that gets handed to you through the little window on the side of the building after you drive past the big billboard thing with the speaker in it where you can insert your credit card? How about medical? You trust the medical industry? Do you trust the banking industry? You see what I mean? So all these things, each individual house of cards is beginning to shake, and some of them are starting to fall. I don't want to be trapped underneath that house of cards when it falls. So that requires more and more personal responsibility from me to be in a position to exert my own influence, to provide for my own family, to do my own things. And people will say, well, you buy all the land you want. What happens when you got to pay property taxes? You never actually own that land. First of all, that sounds like sour grapes. So maybe pull your head out of your ass. Second of all, my property taxes are insanely low. Insanely low. And I have 10 years worth of property taxes put back. 10 years. And if that goes to hell in a handbasket, I have silver, sheep, cattle. And if that goes to hell in a handbasket, I got a bunch of friends and we train together. So, good morning, Doug Bucher. You do not want to be married, in covenant with, attached to this system as it continues to fail. Which goes back to full circle, basic prepper stuff. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to buy a pallet of salt. Because salt's like $8 for a 50-pound bag. You get 50 of them on a pallet. That's like $400 for a lifetime supply of salt. You get about 50 pounds of salt in a bucket. That's 50 buckets of salt. Will I ever use that much? I have no idea. Probably not, but I'll have it for $400. Seems like a pretty good investment to me for a lifetime of salt when that stuff could become, probably will become at some point, unobtainium. If it's $20 a bag for a 50-pound bag, I still don't care. Okay, it's a grand. There's my prepping budget. Blown. It's blown. Also, you think you can barter with salt? I bet you can. That's what I'll be doing today. Clearly, the effects of Biden's tax plan would be devastating, but the proposal is all but dead on arrival as the House of Representatives is currently under Republican control. However, it is a meaningful statement that reveals the intentions of the Biden regime and serves as a warning for small and medium-sized business owners and entrepreneurs. That's me. That's a lot of us. For people that don't fit that description, this proposal has prompted a discussion about Medicare and Social Security, with suggestions including intentionally phasing out the program and raising the age of eligibility for Social Security. By the way, you know why 65 was the age of eligibility for Social Security? This goes back to the Germans. You should do some research on this. It's because 65 was the mean age of death. So if you lived past the average age of death, sure, we're happy to give you a stipend each month. But it wasn't a whole bunch of people living past the average age of death. What's up, SOE? Shalom, bro. Did Bear just say buy $1,000 worth of salt? Roger that. Bear did, by the way. Looking forward to seeing you at Self-Reliance Festival, brother. Did a post on Patreon about that the other day, a couple days ago. Or was that yesterday? Might have been yesterday morning. If you're anywhere near Camden, Tennessee, you should go to the Self-Reliance Festival. And this is not a shameless plug. I don't have an affiliate link. I don't even get paid to go there. I don't want to get paid to go there. Will I be speaking? Yes. Is Mike Shelby from Forward Observer speaking on how to do an area study? Yes. Is Dr. Ken Berry speaking about how to not freaking die by putting bullshit food in your face? Yes. Are there dozens of other speakers and presenters? Yes. Are tickets less than $100? Yes. Are John and Amanda from SOE Tactical awesome? Yes. Are the people from Tactical Response probably going to come and hang out? Yes. But more than all of that, it is an incredible opportunity to network with people, to build your network, to meet people, date each other, fall in love, and increase your survivability rate as this house of cards continues to tumble down. Check it out. Self-Reliance Festival, Camden, Tennessee. It's coming up in like 2 weeks. Yes, I'll be there. That's not why you should go. You should go because it's an opportunity to meet other people who are like-minded that you can forge relationships with to get independent of this broken, fragile system. Social Security. 65 was the age of eligibility because that's when people died. Well, that's not the case anymore. Unless, unfortunately, you or somebody you love did those two things and that other thing, in which case, apparently, the age is 25, 35, 45, 55. So, honestly, given the spirit of what Social Security was founded to do, it makes a lot of sense to increase the age of eligibility to whatever the average age of death is now. That's why Social Security has become such a burden on the revenue stream of the United States of America, because people don't die at 65 on average anymore. We live a lot longer than that, like 80, 85. Well, that's 15, 20 years of economic burden on the current taxpayer. And I realize a lot of people within the sound of my voice right now are on Social Security or are coming up on Social Security eligibility and don't like the idea of raising the eligibility. I don't, to be fair, that's fine. That's the agreement that you made. The agreement that I made was I'm going to work my whole damn life and never see a dime of that money. And it will be taken from my paycheck, whether I want it to be or not. And I'll never see a dime of that money. Never. I will never see a dime of that money. That's theft. Thou shalt not steal. So I'm no fan of Social Security because I've paid in a lot of money to Social Security and I'll never get a penny of it back because it'll be broke by the time I'm old enough to be eligible for it. So guess what that means? Personal responsibility. I have my own savings and retirement accounts. Are they robust? No, but they're something. They exist. And the more gray I get in my beard, the more money I throw in those accounts. Because technically, I'm approaching my prime earning age. That's encouraging. I'd prefer to not do that in an economic climate where I have to give 2/3 of my profits to the government, otherwise men with guns will come and take me and put me in a little box. But either way, I'm going to apply personal excellence to this situation, because as Andy Frisella says, personal excellence is the ultimate rebellion. I'm going to earn as much as I can. I'm going to contribute as much as I can. I'm going to solve as many problems as I can so that I can get as much revenue as I can, so I can throw some of that into a bank account that when Social Security fails, I don't fail with it. Just another facet of the Babylonian system that is falling apart. Robert Reich of The Guardian wrote, quote, "Here's the dirty little secret. Neither of these two theatrical productions, neither the Republicans' refusal to raise the debt ceiling, nor Biden's big tax hike on the super rich, which it's not on the super rich, it's on us, will ever happen. They're both fantasies." End quote. That is the brief for today. If you're one of those fine Americans that jumps off when it's time to talk about how to support the show, this is your polite invitation to beat feet, skedaddle, get out of here, have a blessed day, shalom. For everybody else, we're going to talk about how to support the show. On Patreon this morning, I posted a video having to do with MAGs. MAGs, mutual assistance groups, and one-upsmanship. How do you build a team full of go-getters that work together, not against one another? That video is up on Patreon this morning. The way Patreon works is there's a minimum of 20 exclusive pieces of content per month, and a minimum of 12 of those pieces of content are questions that you ask to Bear, to which I answer in video format for you and for the entirety of the group. It functions like a preparedness consultancy. And so not only do you get my opinion on the matter, you also get all the awesome commentary from everybody else in the Bear Nation in the comments below the video. And so we have very fruitful, productive conversations on Patreon, and it's $5 per month. Should probably sign up before your bank fails. Just throwing that out there. There's a wealth of information, and all of the most important conversations that we have on Patreon. As always, all these links are in the description of every video and live stream. Now, Refuge Medical. As you may have noticed, I have a Refuge shirt on because it's the shirt that was at the top of my rucksack when I woke up this morning. And as you may be aware, I'm the founder and CEO of RefugeMedical.com. I founded Refuge in my barn just under 4 years ago. I worked an hour a month to produce first aid kits for a handful of people because I couldn't find first aid kits that would work for me. And so I made my own. Spent $1,000 of my own money to prototype 6 first aid kits. All the same pattern, I just needed 6. And what I realized was, you know, 6, that's a good number, but how many systems can one man have? So I had a couple left over. So I sent some to some Army SF buddies and to some Air Force PJs. Got some really good feedback. And I got a request for an order, which I was not expecting. So I made some more first aid kits, and then some more, and then some more, and then some more. And I tell you this, A, because I want you to understand our ethos and where we come from, and B, because even as this house of cards tumbles down, if you have any entrepreneurial aspirations, I do not want you to feel like you get kicked in the teeth every day and that it's not worth doing. We're now on 4 continents with all branches of the U.S. Armed Forces electively, thousands of law enforcement officers. Our kits have saved 67 lives to date that we know of. 67 people got to go home to their families, hug their kids one more time, kiss their wife, sleep in their own bed because we showed up to work. We take that super seriously. Is it hard? Yeah. But life is hard anyway. Life is going to be hard whether you choose to actively engage or not. So if there's something you need to do, do it. If you have a gifting or a talent or a delight that you need to share with the world, do it. The timing will never be perfect. There will never be the perfect economic climate for you. It won't happen. So instead of suffering from paralysis by analysis, jump. Go. It'll be scary. It'll be hard. You'll want to give up. Don't. And as long as you just keep going, it'll work out. Refuge now employs 23 families. That is mind-numbing to me, in the best way possible. We make the best kits on the face of the earth. If you can find a better one, I'll buy it from you. I'll close my doors. They don't exist. Everything we make, every stitch, every grommet, every buckle, all of it is made in the United States of America by Americans. We are not an American company. We are a made in America company, and there is a huge difference. This is the BearFact 3.0. You've seen it many times on camera. You understand how this works. Our shears are on the outside. Got a cat tourniquet on the outside here. It's MOLLE compatible. You can hang this on anything, a chess rig, a war belt, a plate carrier, a headrest, a rucksack, the bulkhead of your submarine, the bulkhead of your aircraft. I've gotten pictures of that. It's super cool. And the outside pouch provides your durability and your portability. American-made ballistic nylon. You pull this open like so. You grab the red handle and you pull the inner out of the outer. And then in the inner, you have a purpose-built blowout kit prioritized per the March algorithm. Massive bleeding, airway, respiratory, circulation, head injury, hypothermia, and everything else. This has your chest seals, your quick clot, your pressure bandages, your burn dressing, nasal pharyngeal airway, 2x2s, 4x4s, 5x9 gauze pads, eye shield, eye pad, duct tape, surgical tape, Sharpie, gloves, shears, everything you need to save a life using the best components on the face of the earth. You can't find a better kit. And you certainly can't find a better kit that has this sewn into it. Made in the USA. Every stitch. Look at the stitching. Look at this. If you break this, I will replace this at no cost to you. If you use the components of this kit to save somebody's life, I will replace it at no cost to you. Comes with this tourniquet. It's a Cat Gen 7 tourniquet. Why? Here's why. Because with very little training, about this fast, you can stop an arterial bleed. And it's one turn past bad words, right there. You pull the tail through, pull the time tab across, done. You see, I'm already starting to get increased vascularity in the back of my hand from the occlusion of the artery. Everything we do, everything Refuge does, is to support our mission statement. Our mission statement is to save lives while in service to the Father's kingdom and experiencing the abundance of His provision and blessing. If you need a kit, please consider us. If you don't, but you know somebody who does, please evangelize for us. We can't do this without you. Now, Refuge training. Our training personnel are in Lebanon, Pennsylvania today, throughout the week, doing 4 days of training in Lebanon, PA. There are a handful of classes that are still available up on the website, refugetraining.com. You can use the promo code BearNation at both Refuge Medical and Refuge Training. At Refuge Medical, you get free shipping. At Refuge Training, you get a percentage off. If you're on Patreon, use your Patreon promo code. Okay? Refuge Training, I just put a video up on Patreon yesterday of the Pecola class. Let me see if I can find that. It's a quick video. See if I can play it for y'all. I want you to see the difference between our class and everybody else.
This is probably some of the best training that I've had in 7 years of law enforcement. I realized how many areas I'm weak in, and now I recognize like how many areas I don't even know I'm weak in.
So, there's a lot of training organizations out there. Some of them are pretty good. None of them are us. Again, basic prepper stuff. In the dispersion, your name of Yahuwah Vidi is phenomenal, sharing it like crazy. Especially with my former church men's group pushing back hard against their replacement theology. Loved your quote, Yah's not impressed by your bullshit. Appreciate you, brother. Praise Yah. Thank you. Refuge Training. Come to class. Learn the fine art of how to not die. Lastly, grindstoneministries.com. I don't even know how to thank y'all for everything you do for us. There's not words. Yes, Matt Drake, HSA and FSA, all kits, all components at refugemedical.com are HSA and FSA eligible, which, by the way, a lot of those expire in the next 2 days, which, by the way, I still have a tourniquet on my arm. Now look at the vascularity in the back of my hand. Grindstone. Every time a hurricane or a tornado hits and we need help so we can go help other people, y'all are there. Every time I have to go pull a 3-year-old out of a situation where they're being serially raped, y'all are there. Every time we need anything, whether it's blankets or dump trucks or non-perishable food or chainsaws or bucket trucks or heavy equipment or propane or a place to sleep, diesel fuel, y'all are there every time. This is hands down the best audience. Thank you, Phillips. The best audience on the face of the earth, hands down, because we have done so much together. And the enormity of what we've done together, it gets me sometimes. And every time I talk to the Father about it, I hear, you're just getting started, son. You're just getting started. We are just getting started. We have done 36 disaster deployments in the last 4 years. We have rescued 24 kiddos ages 1 to 19 who are being trafficked and raped and sold as product and abused by assholes. We are building Caleb House, our juvenile restoration facility. And I love y'all from the bottom of my heart for that. Thank you for supporting our good works. If you want to plug in, you can visit grindstoneministries.com. There's a link in the description. You can also find shirts, Caleb House t-shirts, long sleeves, and hoodies to help us fund the construction of our juvenile human trafficking survivor restoration facility, aka the place that we're building that is a safe space for kids that have been trafficked and raped. And you can buy our Brother Saw's shirt, the Facts Not Feelings shirt, a portion of the proceeds of which go to help build Caleb House. And you can pray. And we need it. We need it. We need the strength to endure and to be obedient to the call that the Father puts on our heart. We need peace that surpasses all understanding. We need a war chest to continue to do what we do, to make sure that bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to good people. We need to be able to build Caleb House. We're not there yet. We need wisdom and discernment so that we can be good stewards of the Father's blessings. And we need to continue to walk in His will, whatever it might be, as scary as it is. That's the brief for today. I appreciate y'all, every one of you. I hope you have an awesome day. Bless y'all. Shalom.